The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
We're going to talk this morning about getting out of the boat and what exactly that means, and we'll talk. Let's pray. God, thanks. You're so good to us, Father. Lord, we ask that you would bless our time together now, Father. Do something great. There is a call here for us to look beyond what looks like failure and see what true failure really is and how to overcome it. Bless us now, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. If you don't have your Bible with you, it'll be here on the screen. This is out of the New Living Version. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land. Okay. For a strong wind had arisen. Living in Boulevard, I know about strong winds. Strong gust this week, 50 to 60 miles an hour, and blowing limbs off trees, and it was fun. Wind chill factor Monday morning, by the way, Friday morning, we went out to feed the cattle. Wind chill factor of 16. We fed the cattle and went home. I got a lot of insulation, but I don't have that much. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had arisen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Remember Casper, the friend? Okay. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." And Peter called him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. Pastor gets hired by a church, and they're going to keep the youth pastor and the music pastor there. And they decide, we should take him fishing so we can kind of bond. We'll bond. So they go fishing, and they row out into the middle of the lake, and the music director says, "Oh, man, I left the lunches on the lake." The youth pastor says, "No problem, I'll go get them." And he gets out of the boat, and he walks to the shore. Now, they're in the middle of the lake. And the pastor is kind of dumbfounded by this. He walks back out, gets in the boat, and the pastor's just kind of dumbstruck. And the youth pastor says, "Oh, man, I forgot to get the bait." And the music director says, "That's okay, I'll go get it." And now the pastor's like totally freaked out, because now the music director starts walking across the water. He walks back. And now the pastor doesn't know what to do. So he's standing there and he's looking at all this. And one of them said, "Oh, you know what? I left my best fishing rod over on the bank." And the pastor says, "Don't worry about it. I'll go get it." He jumps out of the boat and he falls into the water. And he sinks. While he's in the bottom of the lake, the youth pastor looks at the music director and says, "Hey, when he comes up, you think we ought to show him where the stepping stones are?" That's kind of us, We're going to look at a story, we looked at a story that There's no stepping stones involved. Peter walked on water. Jesus walked on water. Now, everybody looks at Peter and looks at this as a failure because Peter began to sink. He took his eyes off the Lord, he saw the wind, he saw the waves, and he began to sink. And everybody says, oh, because Jesus told him, you have so little faith. What about the other 11 guys that never got out of the boat? They didn't have little faith, they had no faith. So I don't want you to get caught up in Peter failing, although that is a big portion of what we're talking about today. Did Peter fail? No. I don't look at this as a failure in Peter's life. I look at this as one of those times where he took an opportunity to serve God. He took an opportunity to do something great, and it didn't quite work out according to plan. And you know what? I will take that a million times over somebody who just doesn't try at all. So this week, if you tried to do something great for God, if you tried to witness to your neighbor, if you tried to talk to somebody about the Lord, if you tried to do something and it didn't go quite according to plan and you walked away thinking, I'm such a loser. I can't even do this right. God looks at you and says, hey, you tried. Good stuff. Now go do it again. Because you get better at it. But how many of you this week didn't try to share your faith at all? How many, and don't raise your hand, how many of you this week didn't bother to tell anybody about Jesus? Or didn't bother to talk to anybody about what God is doing in you? See, I'll take somebody who tries and fails or somebody who doesn't try. Even though Peter didn't do it perfectly, he did walk on water, which is more than the other guys. Just last week, I think it was, Gene Cernan, the last person to ever walk on the last of the remaining people who walked on the moon is dead. We now have no living human beings that have ever walked on the moon. I mean, I don't necessarily want to walk on the moon because there's that whole rocket launch thing and flying, and I'm not crazy. I don't like flying in a jet. I can't imagine flying in a rocket. That's beyond scary. That is, yeah, I don't want to think about that. But how'd you like to be one of the only people that's ever done something spectacular like that? And we talked about Jim Kelly, the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. Jim Kelly, four Super Bowls, never won one. And they asked Jim Kelly, how do you feel? Like, you're the only guy that's ever been to four Super Bowls and never won one. And he said, at least I've been to four Super Bowls. There's a lot of guys in the NFL that like to go to one Super Bowl. Peter never hesitated to step out in faith. Look at Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? There's a lot of talk out there. Who do people say I am? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. See, who do you say Jesus is this morning? There's all kinds of stuff out there, all kinds of people saying all kinds of things. I'm beginning to think I'm going to have to turn off Facebook and turn off the news because there's an awful lot of noise right now. See, I don't want to hear somebody's opinion. I want to know what's going on. I want to know the truth. And it's really hard to find right now. But when it comes down to Jesus, well, my pastor says, no. Well, Jeremiah, no. What do you say? Who do you say Jesus is? Is he Messiah, the Son of the living God? Is he your Savior? Is he somebody you pray to when you need trouble, when you need out of trouble? Is it somebody you pray to when, you know, well, I've tried everything else, might as well pray. On the day of Pentecost, it was Peter who got up in front of all those people when the Holy Spirit fell and people are talking and speaking in tongues they don't understand and amazing things are happening. Peter's the one who got up in the window, went out and told the people, hey, this is something that God's been promising. And 3,000 people got saved. In Acts chapter 3, it was Peter who saw the crippled man begging at the temple gate and told him in Acts 3, 4, and 6, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money, but Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Nazarene, get up and walk. And the Bible says the dude rolled up his bed mat and took a hike. If you don't try something amazing, you don't get anything amazing. Some of you are facing situations in your life right now, and you don't know how you're going to get past them. You got to get out of the boat. You've tried doing everything so safely. You've tried doing everything so in your control, and you never once thought, you know what? What could God do in this situation if I just let him loose? So that's what we're going to talk about. How do we get to that point? Look, giving your life to Jesus and giving control of your life is a calculated risk. Let's be honest. Because when you come to Christ, everything in your life is going to change. Now, it's not weird. I remember picking a tract years and years and years ago. Golly, I picked up a little gospel tract, and this guy was a biker, and he had long hair and a beard. And at that time, I had long hair. Yes, there was a time. I had long hair, and I had a beard. And I picked up the tract, and it said, before. And then you look inside, and it said, before Jesus. And then you look inside, it was after Jesus. And he's all clean cut, and he's wearing a little white shirt and a black tie, and he's got short sleeves and a tie. Not a good look, gentlemen. Sorry, my own personal opinion. Okay? And I looked at him and thought, I kind of liked you better before. I liked the way you looked a lot better before. Call me silly. And some of us are so afraid of that. We're afraid that if we come to Christ, if we fully give Christ control of our lives, we won't know what we're going to look like when we're done. Well, here's the thing, Sparky. Have you done a real great job with your life up to this point? Is your life so hunky-dory and perfect that there's no room for improvement anywhere? You really think God's going to make it worse? You know God, the creator of the universe, the one who made it so that your body functions the way it's supposed to function and put together all of the science and all the stuff. You know that God, the one who's so detail-oriented that the shape of the blood cells in your bloodstream are specially, if they were any other shape, they probably wouldn't function as well. But the red blood cells are shaped, they're able to slide through and not jam up. The God who paid that kind of attention to detail? I cut my hair last night, I got a spot on one side that's not even enough. I don't need to be in control of anything. Let alone the making of blood cells. Do you really think that a God that is that, has that great attention to detail, is going to mess you up? Or is he going to do something better for you than you'd ever thought possible? Getting out of the boat is a calculated risk. I'm asking you to do something scary today. But what's the alternative? Sitting in the boat? Would you rather say, I walked on water, I didn't make it all the way, but I walked on water, or, yeah, I was in a boat, I saw that guy walk on water, it was pretty cool. It's like the guys that dress up in full uniform to go to the basketball games. Do you think they're putting you in? You know, you're sitting up in the nosebleed seats at the Laker game. You got your uniform on and got your wristbands and you're ready. It's like, you know, Kobe went down. Hey, you up there, come on down. Or I love the guys when they're talking about the, yeah, well, you know, we almost made it to the Super Bowl. Wait a second, we? Did you play? Did you get on the payroll somehow that I wasn't aware of? No. The Raiders did something. Hey, look, I'm a Bears fan. We didn't do anything. The other team didn't show up for one of the Bears games. It still took them 5 tries to score. So, I mean, let's just put this all in perspective. I don't want to be the guy in the boat. I want to be the dude outside the boat. And if I sink, so be it. I'd rather try something great and fail than never try anything at all. What, you got such a golden reputation you can't afford a couple of failures? Come on. So, here's some things you need to do when you decide to get out of the boat. My goal is that you all decide to get out of the boat today. Here's some things you need to do. Number one, tell God you're willing. How many of you are willing to be used by God? Again, is this scary? Absolutely. It ought to be. If it's not scary, it's probably not worth doing. Anybody here scared to eat their Cheerios in the morning? But we pray over them. Lord, bless these Cheerios. Hallelujah. See, they're not perfectly shaped like the red blood cells. They could get stuck. If you're going to eat that puffer fish, that, was it, fugu, which just, it's Japanese for don't eat, it's stupid, I think. I'm pretty sure. Okay? You better pray over that. You better pray over that before you eat it, because otherwise you may meet Jesus sooner than you thought. To begin living by faith, you have to take the initiative. God has done all the work for you. Understand, God has done everything for you that you need to do. It's done. He sent his son Jesus to die for you. He's made a way for you. He's given you the Holy Spirit to walk with you day by day. It's ready. You're done. It's all there. You don't have to ask God to do more. He's already done everything. Guess whose turn it is? Yours, mine. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. Peter did this. Remember, they're in the boat, they're all in the boat, the waves are going crazy, they see some dude walking across the water, and they first think is, it's Casper, it's a ghost. Which, to be honest, let's be honest, we're all like, you disciples, so stupid. Really? Really? You're out there in sunbeam and the winds start coming up, and you see some dude trucking across the water, your first thought is, oh, it's Jesus. No, your first thought is, I saw this in a movie, it doesn't end well. First, they were frightened. But Jesus said, take courage, I am here. And they looked at each other and said, was that you? Does that sound like Jesus to you? Sound like, might have been Jesus. Could have been Jesus. Might have been. I'm not getting out. Look at the water. But Peter said, look at verse 28. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. He didn't wait for Jesus to say, hey, Peter, come on out. Come on in, the water's fine. No. Peter said, if it's really you, God, because again, he's not stupid, he's going to check. I don't know what would happen if he said, no, it's just me, I'm messing with you. It's just your brother Bob, I'm just messing with you. I'm standing on a rock. Then Peter would have said, get off the rock, stupid. Okay, but no, he says, Lord, if it's really you, call me out. And he did. Peter said, you know what, Lord? I'm sitting in this boat, but man, if you're willing to work this out for me, I'll take the next step. I'll meet you there. Here's the thing. We must decide in our heart and express a willingness to step out in faith. It all starts in here. You've got to decide in here that you're going to follow Christ. And that you're going to follow him lock, stock, and barrel. You're not going to hold anything back. Are you ready for that? You're like, I don't know, am I? Are you? Because if you're not, quit playing. God wants us. He wants all of us. He wants every bit of you. So what is it got Peter to take a big step like this? It was fear. They were afraid in the boat. Now look, these are seasoned fishermen. And if they're afraid in the waves, it must have been some pretty good waves. Peter looked and said, you know what, Lord? I can die in this boat, or I can die trying to follow you. I think I'll die that way. If I got to pick my death, I'll try following you, God. How many of us would have just clung to the side of the boat and thought, well, I know he called me and he said, come on out, but man, I don't know. It was fear. Look at Matthew 14:26 again. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. What do you do when you're full of fear? You take the most illogical step of all. And you step out in faith. What do you do when you are scared and you don't know what else to do? You step out in faith toward God. What? You got nothing else to do anyway. You got nothing to lose. We respond to fear by stepping out in faith and obeying God. Have you been attacked by fear recently? You had a fear of your marriage falling apart, your fear of your children slipping away, the fear of financial disaster, the fear of failing health. Fear has an amazing capacity to get our attention. So what do you do when you're afraid? You step out in God's way. Lord, I'm willing to take the next step if you'll just tell me to come out. Lord, I'm willing to do this, even though it may seem illogical, if that's what you want. The problem is, we let our fear motivate us to stay away from God instead of driving us toward Him. If you're afraid this morning, God's got something great for you. I firmly believe that the first step in obeying God involves a ton of fear. Love the story of David and Goliath. David goes out there and he tells him, yeah, I'm going to go kill this guy. And he's got five little rocks and he's got a sling. And he runs out there to meet Goliath, this 9 foot tall dude. And at some point, you know, David went, what on earth am I doing? What? This sounded like a good idea over there. But he put the rock in the sling. And he let it go. It seemed nuts to everybody else. His brothers must have thought, oh good, dad's going to lose a kid now. Saul and all the army thought, all right, pipsqueak, you got a big mouth? Go check it out. We'll see. Run on down. You're going to limp back, but run on down. Fear can motivate us to do something incredible if we'll just take a step of faith. Second, go ahead. Peter did this exactly the way it should be done. Look at verse 28. Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Verse 29, yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Now that's the way it's supposed to be done. You're supposed to ask God and then obey. Unfortunately, we kind of mess this up sometimes. Like sometimes, we don't wait at all for the go-ahead from God. I will have to tell you, this is often me. I'm one of those shoot first, aim later kind of guys. Ready, fire, aim. He's got me in trouble more than once. Okay, so sometimes we don't wait for God to say, go ahead. We jump first and pray second. I was talking to one of the guys on the ranch the other day, and he said that the Lord had given him an idea of something he wanted him to do. And I said, "That's great, man. If that's something in your heart from God, you got to follow that." I said, "So what are the steps to get you from here to there?" And he said, "I don't know yet." I said, "That's what you need to wait for God on." See, sometimes God puts something in your heart, and it takes a while for it to come to fruition. The first church I planted was a church called Crossroads. I waited 10 years for that thing to come to pass. 10 years that kind of church was in my heart. And by the way, it's a church a lot like Remnant. 10 years that was in my heart. And it never was time. I kept putting out little feelers. It never was time until finally when God gave me the go-ahead, I stepped right through it. See, it's important for us to hear God's timing. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. You may know exactly what God wants you to do, and that's knowledge. But wisdom is knowledge rightly applied. Okay? I know what I'm supposed to do. Now God is giving me the steps on how I'm going to do it. Make sense? Second variation, sometimes we say, "Lord, tell me what to do," but we don't listen. He comes to us and he says, "All right, come out on the water." And we say, "Lord, I'm seeking your will, Heavenly Father. Please just tell me what to do." And the Lord says, "Yes, step on out, come out on the water." "Yes, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, please. Hallelujah, come tell me what to do, Lord." And the Lord says, "I want you to come out on the water." "Yes, hallelujah, Father, please. I'm just waiting on you, God. Tell me what to do." And God finally says, I'm done with you. Shut up." I don't know if God says shut up. If I was God, I would. And would come in loud. You know, you'd start that, you know, "Lord, tell me what to do. I just want to follow you. I want you to go to the rest of them. God, please tell me what to do."
Either pain or get off the ladder.
And you're just like, it would ring through your room. "Lord, give me a sign. Here's a sign. Go." You know what? You're so busy trying to find God's perfect will for your life. Really, all he wants you to do is start moving towards something. Ask him and start moving. I've said it a million times. Do you ever have a car without power steering? And you're parked and you try and turn it and you get like you and seven elves or something to help you turn it because it's so hard. Once you get that thing going down the road, you're driving with one hand. Hey, look at me. That's it. Okay? What's the difference? The car's moving. It's easier to steer something that's moving than something that's static and stopped. You know what? Get up. Go. Some of you guys looking for new jobs? "Well, I'm waiting for God to open the right opportunity." Really? How many applications did you fill out? "Well, none. I'm just waiting for the..." You know what? Go fill out applications, Sparky. "I'm looking for God's will." Really? What are you doing to move toward it? "Well, yeah, I'm just looking." No, move. Move. Because sometimes the third variation is, sometimes we say, "Lord, tell me what to do," and we still don't obey. "Lord, tell me what to do," and the Lord says, "Fine, get out of the boat." "You know, it's really windy out there, God." Really? You ever bargain with God and tell him why you're not supposed to do what he tells you to do? I wrote a column about it one time, and I've told you, I know, but I'll tell you again because I like to tell it, about being at the Stater Brothers in Beaumont. I was youth pastor at the church, and there was this lady crying, and she was crying by the fish sticks. And just crying, I don't know if she had like a goldfish death in her family that day or something, I don't know, but she was crying there by the fish sticks, and the Lord said, "Go pray with her." And I, okay, but she's like by the fish sticks. Really, the frozen food section, not the optimal place to pray for somebody. I didn't think. Every time I went, and I went the opposite direction because I was a great man of God. I went opposite for the way she went. And every time I turned, there she was, crying still. So now she's crying by the green beans. Maybe she had a meal go wrong. I don't know. But just a lot of stuff was happening in this lady's life. Finally, I get over by the Wonder Bread, and I said, "You know, ma'am, can I pray with you?" And she said, "I'd like that." And so I prayed with her. And she fell to her knees right then and just cried out for God. And she's a missionary in Fiji now. No, she's not. I don't know who she is. Never saw that woman ever again in my life. I gave her my card, never heard from her. I don't know where she is. She may be a missionary in Fiji. It would be cool if that's the way the story ended. I'll get to heaven and this lady is going to say, hey, you, Sparky, remember the... Now, here's the thing. Did I obey God? Not really. Because when he really told me to pray with him was by the fish sticks. Now, maybe if I had prayed with her by the fish sticks, she might have been a missionary to Fiji. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. And we try to say, oh, I'm serving God, I'm doing it. Yeah, but you didn't do it when he told you to. When my boys were at home, I'd tell them that Tuesday to take out the trash, and they would take it out on Thursday. Did they obey me? Yeah, but they also missed trash day. Trash day was Wednesday. Now we got to sit with full cans for a whole week because they didn't do what they were told when they were told. How many people in your life are walking around with full cans of garbage in their lives because you didn't take out the trash when God told you to? Folks, we're not playing marbles here. This is life and death. When God gives you the go-ahead to get out of the boat, get out of the boat. If you listen for God's voice, you'll hear it. And you won't have to ask yourself, is that really God? First of all, you know God's not going to tell you anything to do. God's not going to tell you anything that isn't Scripture. Second of all, the devil's not going to tell you anything that's going to glorify God. And you're going to get a confirmation from the people around you. You're going to hear something from the people that know you, spiritual people that know you. I've heard people say before, I want to walk in obedience, but I have no idea where to start and no idea what to do next. Great. Just start going. Here's the way I put it. Express your willingness to God. Listen for his voice. He'll tell you what to do. And when he does, be ready for it. It's no sense in you praying for God's will if you're going to tell God, well, wait 10 years, God, I got to do this first. No. Most of you know I changed careers. I changed jobs in October. I was working at the sheriff's office doing that stuff, and an opportunity opened up, and when it opened up, we had 2 weeks before we started the new gig, and we had to decide, are we going to do this now? And I will tell you that this new job, as much as I love it, it totally messed up my plans. We were going to work 3 more years my wife and I were going to work 3 more years at the county and then sell our house and travel. We were going to sell our house, get on our motorhome, and travel the country. Well, we're not going to do that now. And you know what? I'm fine with it. Because God opened a door that I totally didn't see opening. I didn't even know. I mean, I'd been to Rough Acres, what, twice? And then God opened this door. You don't know what God's going to do for you. But I will tell you, and if you ever watch my Instagram feed or my Facebook page, you'll find out, I love what I do. Because God does incredible things in us. When we open up, we pray for him to open the door, and when he opens it, we step through. Third, ask for help. This is where Peter really gets an A+ in this. He got out of the boat, he started walking, and he took his eyes off the Lord. Verse 30, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Now, I love the word began. Again, if you have a pool, go home, try it. Try stepping on the water and see if you begin to sink or if you just sink. Pretty sure you and the bottom of the pool become acquainted pretty quickly. And I know fat floats, so I get to the top eventually, but I still got to go down first. When we read this story, we usually focus on the fact that Peter took his eyes off Jesus and began looking at the waves, and the wind, and as a result, began to sink. And it's true. When you take your eyes off Jesus, you begin to sink. Look at this. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. But if you do, ask for help immediately. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. If you're doing something great following him, don't take your eyes off of him. And let me tell you something. When things are going well, that's the hardest time to follow God. Everything's doing great. You know, that's hard to cry out to God. But man, you know, the bad stuff's already happening, and all of a sudden you get hyper-religious. You and your face and the carpet become very well acquainted. I had a buddy used to call it sucking carpet. What? I called him, so what are you doing? He said, I'm sucking carpet. What? He said, yeah, I'm praying, man. We got a lot of stuff going on. I'm face down on the carpet. I'm praying. Okay, well, find another word for it, would you? And I would love to say that every one of us, when we start to serve God, we will totally not get sidetracked by the wind and the waves. That when we serve God, we will keep our eyes on Jesus and everything will go exactly the way we want it to go, the way God wants it to go, and there will never be any opposition. But that's not true. In fact, if I were to tell you that, I would be lying to you. In April, are you ready for this? In April, Remnant is going to be 10 years old. 10 years. And we have faced opposition. We have faced things that went wrong. We don't talk about it on Sunday mornings because that's not what we do. We're here to glorify Christ. And if the day comes when God wants to fold this church, we'll fold it. Until then, God has seen us through struggles. God has seen us through storms, times when we didn't know if we were going to be able to pay the rent. And we decided, you know, because we have a pretty strong rule here that we don't talk about money. We don't take an offering. We don't harangue you for funds. Well, if you really love Jesus, you'll give to the building fund. Hallelujah. And we don't do that. If money comes up as a regular part of our series, we'll talk about it. We're not ashamed to talk about it, but we're not going to beat you over the head every Sunday for your money, which is never, not our style. There was at least once in our history when we didn't have enough money for rent. And it looked like we were going to not have a place to meet the following week. And Jeremiah and I talked about it. Well, what do we do? You know, do we break our rule of not talking about money and say, hey, we really need your help? Do we reach out to people? And I got to be honest with you, I was the one, I think, that kind of pushed, hey, we need to talk to some people about this. Jeremiah said, you know what? Let's stick by our guns and see what God does. Guess what? God came through. And when you start to serve God, you're going to meet that time when the wind and the waves are all around you. And you're going to wonder, what am I going to do next? You wait for God. You ask God for help. If walking on the water was easy, all the other disciples would have done it. But they didn't. Peter got out of the boat, started walking across the water, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, help me. Notice, by the way, that the Lord didn't automatically levitate him out of the water. He came next to him. Look at verse 31. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? Verse 32, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Okay? So if Peter's walking toward Jesus, and Jesus reaches out and takes him, and then they get back to the boat, what happened in the meantime? Jesus walked Peter back to the boat. And that's important because the wind and the waves were still there. The wind and the waves were still crashing and still scary and all that stuff still going on. But Jesus has got his arm around Peter and he's walking him to the boat. We pray sometimes to the Lord, you know, I'm in this struggle. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. He comes and he gets right around us. But sometimes we're still walking through the muck. We're still going through the storm. The difference is Jesus is walking with us. He's holding us up. Peter began to sink, but Jesus held him up out of the water. Helped him walk. Don't think that just because you pray, and this is the mistake we make. We get in a tough time and we start feeling, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? And we begin to sink and we cry out to the Lord. And he comes to us and he tells us, okay, I've got this. We're in this together. And we still see all the wind and the waves and we think God has forgotten us. He hasn't forgotten you. He's just helping you overcome what frightened you. He's helping you overcome what you thought was going to beat you. He didn't make it go away. He just gave you the power to beat it. Guys, and that's an important distinction. Don't think that God's going to just all of a sudden, you know, snap his fingers and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It might happen that way. But in my experience, more often than not, Jesus helps you through till you get the place through you. And then all of a sudden they got to the boat and the wind stopped. Now, why couldn't Jesus have stopped the wind earlier? Because then Peter would have relied on him to get them back to the boat. Look, guys, your faith is built in the wind and the rain. When the waves are crashing all around you and scaring you and scaring everybody around you, that's when your faith is built. Don't wimp out. Don't come so close to your miracle and then walk away. Don't come so close to what God wants to do with you and then say, he forgot about me. I'm done. Don't you dare. Jesus helped Peter back to the boat because Peter couldn't make it on his own. And I will tell you that the loser in this story is not Peter. You know who I think the loser is? The 11 other guys in the boat. We look at guys who try things and fail. Now, the first church I planted, we made it about a year and a half, and then I had to fold it. And I had a couple of guys say, well, you know, all right. Look down on it. Well, I will tell you that out of the seeds of that church, some of the reason Jeremiah and Chris first talked to me was because of my experience at that church, and I came on board to be part of Remnant. If I had never gone through that, even though it didn't really end or go the way I really wanted it to go, I wouldn't be here today. Did I fail? Didn't go the way I wanted to. I began to sink. But I think God helped me through it, and we're doing okay now. See? Sometimes God builds out of the ashes. And look, there will be plenty of people around you. See, you failed. You tried and you failed. Just look at them. You know what? Yeah, but I tried. I tried. Look, if you're in the boat this morning, you got one choice. Well, you got two choices. You can sit there and cry and scream and wail about the status of your life. Or you can pray and ask God if he wants you to get out of the boat. Pray and say, all right, Lord, I'm here. I'm going through the wind and the waves by myself anyway. I'd rather go through it with you. How do I get where I need to be? And when he tells you to get out of the boat, here's a little hint from your Uncle Jer, get out of the boat. It's time. Some of you have been struggling with major decisions. And God has been telling you, get out of the boat. Painter, get off the ladder. Let's see what God can do. Let's see what God can do. And if you're here this morning and your first decision make is to follow Christ, get out of the boat. Now's your time. You're not here by accident. I came to church because, look, you can come up with a million excuses why you're here. I know why you're here. You're here because God wanted you to hear this today. Amen. You're here because God wanted you to follow him. And so if that's you this morning and you haven't had an experience with Christ or it's been a while we pray, we're going to sing one more song. While we do, I just want you to go to God and say, okay, God, I'm ready to give myself to you. I'm ready to give you a chance, God. I know where I got me. And let's just say I'm not living in the lap of luxury. God, I want to see where you can take me. And then watch what God does. It's amazing. The only way you lose in this is if you never get out of the boat. Let's pray. God, thanks.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com.